continuing conversation with Matt Golombog. Matt, we're talking about the circling of the rover around the lander after we'd lost contact.
Yeah, it was programmed to go and circle the lander, actually go towards the lander until it got to a particular distance and then circle around, just in case we couldn't uplink to the spacecraft. But inevitably, when we would send the rover on a semi-long traverse, it would error out, what we call error out, where a potentiometer reading or one of the laser light stripers out in front would detect something that it either didn't understand or it thought was hazardous, and it was told in those conditions to stop and wait for the next signal from the lander. So I actually think it's much more likely that, yeah, it probably moved a meter or two, it errored out, and it's been sitting there waiting for instructions from the lander, which, of course, have not come.
After a mission, of course, there's many years of analyzing the data, and that flows into later missions. How have you learned? What have you learned from there that you are now putting into the planned landers, you know, the 2001 lander and things like that?
The real obvious is that you want instruments that will give you mineralogy more directly for looking at rocks. Our mechanism was, you know, just the first step in this process, but you really want instruments like a Mossbauer spectrometer or a Raman spectrometer, whatever, there's a variety of them, that more directly tell you what the minerals in the rocks are. And that allows you to understand them much, much better than we were able to do. So that's one thing for sure. The fact that we have landed on safely on a third place gives us another bench point in terms of understanding the surface characteristics and, in fact, predicting those characteristics for future landings. Future landings will involve the same kind of exhaustive study of where to land and the safety characteristics to, you know, make sure you do the best you can.
Are you doing any work on the Mars Polar Lander?
No, I have no role in the Mars Polar Lander. Generally, the way it works is when you're as heavily involved in a mission as I was with Pathfinder, that's about all you can do. And the 98 mission was in development while we were still a cruise, so there was no way for that to occur. Yeah.
So you tend to leapfrog missions.
Yeah, and in fact, even the 01 mission started before Pathfinder ended, so that has a difference. So there's a separate team for all of these missions, which are setting off and going in parallel.
So where do you go now, Matt?
I'm a research scientist by training, and my hope is to get to do some research on the data. That's really why I did the mission in the first place. So I hope to be one of the people that gets to look at this data for many years to come.
Just like the Viking ones.
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, you've been busy writing a book.
We've just published a book. The National Geographic Society in America has published a beautifully illustrated book called Uncovering the Secrets of the Red Planet. The text is written by Paul Rayburn, a science writer for Business Week, and the foreword and the commentary and the images were selected and written by me. And it really is a rather spectacular book. It is available at Australian Geographic stores.
Mm. And I could thoroughly recommend that book. We've just got a stack of them on the table in front of us here, and it's absolutely beautiful, well written, and, it's a really coffee table book, but one worth reading. Well, Matt, thanks for joining us tonight on The Space Show.
It's been my pleasure.